former President Ford dies.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The nation's 38th president, Gerald Ford, died last night at his home in Rancho Mirage, California. He was 93 years old. One of the significant accomplishments during his time in the White House was helping to institute the G7 summits, now known as the G8. Robert Horowitz is the vice chairman of Goldman Sachs. Back in the mid-70s, he was a young economic advisor to President Ford and remembers the significance of those summits.
That was very important in sort of bringing the U.S. into this cooperative network with the major European economies and with Japan and Canada. And I think we've seen the legacy of that today. There's a lot closer global financial and economic cooperation today because of that summit process. And Ford didn't initiate the first one, but he kept the process alive by hosting the second one in Puerto Rico, and it went on after that.
Robert Horowitz was an economic advisor during the Ford administration. Currently, he's the vice chairman of Goldman Sachs. Funeral arrangements will be announced today. Toyota is confirming talks with Ford Motor, but the Japanese carmaker says the two did not discuss the possibility of forming any alliance. An earlier Japanese press report called last week's meeting in Tokyo the first step in potential partnership negotiations, but today Toyota called it a get-acquainted meeting. The report cited unnamed sources saying Ford was interested in Toyota's hybrid and fuel cell technologies. Ford is also interested in Toyota's work in reducing manufacturing and parts procurement costs. The report says Toyota could be considering a partnership as a way to ease potential friction within the U.S. auto industry. Toyota is poised to overtake GM and become the world's biggest auto company next year. For its part, Ford is struggling to bounce back from one of the worst crises in its history. Later this morning, the U.S. Department of Commerce releases new home sales numbers for November. Expectations are for a modest uptick, say between 1 and 2%. That's good news for the housing market, right? Marketplace's Rico Galliano says not so fast.
Should today's new home sales figures turn out as well as expected, Chris Thornburg of UCLA's Anderson Forecast won't be impressed.
Who cares? In many ways, the last number you should be looking at is new home sales.
For one thing, he says the number can't account for building contracts which later get canceled, and the survey statistical sample is so small the number routinely gets revised. Take last October, when the Commerce Department reported a surprising 5% jump in sales.
They've already revised it. So new home sales for October 06 is now below what it was in September 06 once the revision came in.
The more important numbers, Thornburg says, building permits, which are down, and inventory, which is up, both point to a continued slump in the new year. Dave Siders of the National Association of Home Builders agrees, but says a good report today would still be welcome news.
You know, hopefully the first step is underway, which really is, you know, getting the demand side of the market moving again.
But the next steps towards a full recovery in housing could prove more elusive. I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Falling oil prices and holiday sales figures provided some optimism for investors yesterday. The Dow climbed 64 points to 12,407. The NASDAQ rose 12 points to 2413. And the S&P eased up 6 points. It closed at 1416. And in Tokyo, the Nikkei gained 53 points. And this is Marketplace. A potential security flaw for Microsoft's new operating system Vista could hurt sales. Jason Parr reports.
The security problem isn't likely to lead to the infamous worm-type viruses of Windows past, according to Microsoft and independent security experts. But the news could give pause to consumers and IT departments debating whether to make the switch to Vista. Joe Wilcox edits Microsoft Watch.
Will there be enough benefit down the road? And if they start hearing how there's still security problems. They could be as bad or worse as before. Whether it's true or not doesn't matter. Just the fact it might be out there, then they may think, well, what's the point of my going through all this trouble if I'm not really going to get that extra security punch?
Wilcox says businesses are especially likely to look closely because of all the employee training needed to convert to a new system. The consumer version of Vista is due out next month. In Seattle, I'm Jason Parr for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation. furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. 2006 made it clear how much the price of oil drives the global economy. Right now it's hovering around $61 a barrel. But 5 months ago, that price shot up to more than $78 a barrel. Severin Bornstein is the director of the University of California's Energy Institute. I asked him where oil prices are headed now.
The best forecast that we have out there is the futures market for oil, where there are a lot of traders with their own money on the line betting on increases or decreases. And what the futures market is saying is that we're likely to see $60 a barrel oil increasing gradually over the next couple of years a bit and then coming down. But 60 is probably the number we're likely to be around for many years to come.
What's keeping oil prices up?
Well, demand has grown very strongly, not just in the developing countries in China, as we keep hearing about, but also in the United States. In fact, the United States demand in absolute levels is growing just as fast as China. And what that does is that pushes up against the limited capacity to produce oil, because even though there's still a lot of oil out there, the ability to pull it out of the ground rapidly is limited.
Everyone always wants to know this. Can you explain the connection between the cost of oil and the price we pay at the pump?
It's very direct. Every time the price of oil goes up $1 per barrel, that shows up at the pump as about 2.5 cents a gallon. And it usually only takes a couple weeks to show up.
Why does it seem to vary so much then from station to station when you go to fill your car up? One place, it's $2.49, across the street, it's $2.79.
Yeah, there is a lot of variation even within cities, and that is basically because consumers don't flock to the cheaper station. If they did, then the more expensive stations would be forced to lower their price. But there are a lot of people who, despite the fact that gasoline is always in the news, don't really pay much attention to the price and just go to the station they're always going to. And if that station can maintain a 10 or 20 cent higher price, they will.
Let's talk about alternative fuels. With oil prices rising, has this given a kickstart to ethanol, hydrogen cells, hybrids, things like that?
Well, there are some technologies that are in the realm of economics now and some that might be in the future. Hydrogen is just not even close. The high price of oil has increased the interest in research on hydrogen, but that's not something that we're going to see in the next 5 or 10 years. Ethanol is a fuel that's being sold right now. Certainly when the price of oil goes up, it makes ethanol more attractive. Part of the problem ethanol faces, though, is producing ethanol actually requires a lot of oil. And so the cost of producing ethanol also goes up. But as these prices go up, it has made interest in alternative fuels greater. It has increased the interest in diesel fuel. Diesel actually generates about 30% better mileage than gasoline does. Now, in the past, it's created a lot of pollution problems, but we're getting a handle on those. And in fact, cleaner diesel cars are going to be coming on the market over the next couple of years, and I expect them to do quite well.
Severin Bornstein directs the University of California's Energy Institute. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.